A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 218. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Misfits. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Misfits was a Channel 4 series on the E4 station from Channel 4. It was an action comedy science fiction show that ran for 5 series starting from 2009 through 2013. They did a total of 37 episodes that were around 45 minutes each. And it was about a group of young offenders who had committed petty crimes doing community service payback as punishment for these crimes. A mysterious strange storm gives them these bizarre powers and abilities.
That's right. And it is a somewhat wacky and strange show. You know I love a bit of alliteration, so I'll say that Misfits has mayhem, madness and murder to follow, because it really all, it all kicks off of this mysterious storm. And we should point out, this is an adult content warning, because this is the most 18 plus rated show I think we've yet covered, Brian. There is sex, drugs and lots of violence.
Yes, that's right. A little bit of nudity and all sorts of strange over-the-top things going on. So the setup of the series, as we described, there are these 5 teenagers in the community service program caught in this strange, violent thunderstorm. And after the storm, they realize that they now have these powers that they didn't have before. And suddenly there are superpowers in the world.
Yes, that's right. They seem to be struck by lightning, or at least there's a big flash of lightning, and they're all thrown back in an image which we see repeated from time to time. And as you say, they've been changed. They have these new abilities. And how will they deal with them? What effect will it have on their day-to-day lives? How will they cope with these new abilities? Whether or not they'll use them to do anything useful, that's part of the various ongoing plots. And of course, also, there is this weird storm, and it appears that other people have also been affected. And we'll talk about, as we go on, quite how many other people have been affected. But one of the first things they have to deal with is that their probation worker, their probation officer who's there at the community centre, he's also been affected by the storm in a quite unpleasant and violent fashion. And that sort of really kicks off the adventures for this group of misfits as they discover their own powers.
Yeah, some of these powers are not advantageous to the individual. Some of them are quite harmful to them. But something to note, I think we should note early on in our episode here, the idea of the superhero and superhero stories where someone who is, for some reason, powerful takes it upon themselves to help people and so on. The superhero genre is really a quintessentially American thing. And this is a British series that is taking a different take and a satirical take on the superhero genre. And part of it is the idea that what if the worst possible people got the superpowers? So what if instead of, you know, these fine upstanding young people getting powers, it was these misfits? And I think the title Misfits is very appropriate to this show.
Yeah, so weird look at superpowers, and the powers themselves are pretty weird, as we'll discover as we go on.
Yes, weird and wonderful, I'll say. So the characters are very interesting and sort of very much the heart of this show. Nathan, played by Robert Sheehan, is a loudmouthed, cocky young guy who is sort of sleeping rough in the community center where they're working, and most things take place around this community center. And it seems like he hasn't been given a power, and we don't really know why, but he is constantly searching for trying to figure out what his power is. And he also is not admitting what his crime was and why he was sentenced to community service.
Yes, a sort of leader for the group in his... He's a certain sort of charismatic loudmouth. He's a very cocky individual who has the gift of the gab, I think.
Yes, you could say that. Alicia, played by Antonia Thomas, we've also seen her in The Deep. She was this very sexually active young woman who is affected in theme with that. There is the idea that people's powers often relate to the people themselves. They relate to who they are and how they behave. And her power is that anyone who is in physical contact with her, skin on skin, instantly desires her sexually with an incredibly strong force. So she effectively can't touch anyone to avoid this.
Yeah, so it presents an interesting dilemma for her, as we'll get to in a moment as well. Then we have Curtis, played by Nathan Stewart Jarrett. Curtis is a disgraced former athlete, a sprinter who gets his power to turn back time and replay events to a different outcome, something that he has a variable degree of control over, which he learns to use as the series progresses. And you can already see perhaps how that might relate to his own situation of wanting to get back to his glory days as an athlete.
And there's a sense of sort of movement and speed and running with how they deal with his time travel power as well. So there are sort of hints there. And he is also a very charismatic character who is also sort of central to the group at the beginning, I think.
And then we have Kelly, played by the actress Lauren Socha. She is an outwardly hard-as-nails, what we would call a chav or a chavette. So she's a very tough, sort of like foul-mouthed, working-class young woman. But secretly, she has a heart of gold. She's actually, as the series progresses, again, a very sort of interesting and likable character. And she gains the power of telepathy. So she can hear people's thoughts. And again, there's something interesting going on there with her original character and how she progresses.
Yeah, so the person who is not able to communicate how she wants to and, you know, has to wear this tough exterior gets the ability to read minds. So again, there's that thematic thing very much. Simon, played by Iwan Rohan, who you may know as Ramsay Snow from Game of Thrones, is a painfully shy young man who sort of watches life through videos on his phone and has a great deal of trouble interacting with people and communicating and so on. But he is the one who, in a way, always wants to disappear, and he gets the power to become invisible.
So there you are again. Yes, this shy character who doesn't want to stand out, who will fade, literally fade into invisibility in the background.
Yeah, so you get these sorts of things like that. And as the series goes on, we get some new characters and new powers. We also get a lot of guest characters who show up once or show up periodically who have powers of their own. So they introduce a lot of these different powers, and they are very unusual ones in some cases and quite interesting, and often they base stories and plot lines around them.
Okay, but there we have our five basic misfits of the title. And as you've already guessed, you know, for us, we've been talking about them. They are a likable bunch, despite their sort of petty criminal status on community service. They are actually likable. I think that's down to the performances and the writing. And, you know, for the first couple of seasons, at least, we do enjoy the adventures of these five oddball characters.
Yes, they're likable and fun to watch, but they are not people who make good decisions. And that's part of the fun of the show.
Yes.
So for series one and series two, we have this initial group of characters, and they are struggling to come to terms with their powers and what to do with them. The episodes are standalone, but they are also building in some ongoing plot threads and themes and things.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've already hinted at it. We've got the development of the individual characters and their powers. We've also got this five becoming more of a group, so actually getting to know each other, becoming friends to a certain extent. But along the way, as we've said, Simon fades into the background with this power of invisibility. At first, like most of them, he doesn't seem to have any control over the power, but as time goes on, he'll get better at it. Curtis, the athlete, wonders if he can go back far enough in time to get his career back. Alicia, I think, really struggles with the fact that she can no longer have a gender relationship with anyone. And as you said, Brian, sex was quite important to this young woman. And now she can't have that gender relationship because as soon as she touches somebody, they just become overwhelmingly infatuated. They can't resist her. And, you know, a sensible relationship from that point on is impossible until they stop touching her. So it's quite difficult for her. And then, of course, we've got poor old Kelly, who's got voices in her head and is thinking that, you know, she's cracking up until she realises that she's developed telepathic powers as part of the mysterious storm.
Yeah, so in some ways they're growing up. In other ways, they will never grow up on this series. And they are also going from struggling with powers to being genuinely empowered by them, which is interesting.
Apart from Nathan, who is, as we've said, the rather chatty, loudmouth leader of the group in a way, but the one who doesn't seem to have a power, although he's convinced he must be able to do something and spends a lot of the first series experimenting, trying to find out what he can do. We will find out what his power is, but it becomes, you know, an important plot development. And along the way, I've also mentioned their probation officer. He gets killed in the first episode. And so they, again, as we've said earlier, they make bad decisions, this group. They have to struggle to decide what to do with his body. And so they decide to get rid of the body and bury it under a flyover nearby, which sets up in itself so many ongoing plot threads, Brian.
Yes, it does. There is a great deal of black comedy in this series. And part of that is the idea that without really wanting to or intending to, this group of characters keeps killing people. In particular, they keep killing their probation workers and others as well. But we get this theme where they keep, for one reason or another, having to kill their probation worker. And that starts pretty well at the beginning of the series.
Yes, that's right. And of course, they soon get a new probation worker who turns out to be their first probation worker's girlfriend. And she suspects that they know something about her boyfriend's disappearance.
And of course, she is investigating them for her own purposes and trying to figure out what's going on. And I think you can guess that maybe her fate ultimately will not be so great as well. But yeah, there are lots of weird and wacky black comedy kinds of things going on with the probation workers and so on. There is also the theme that by the end of each episode, they're back in their orange jumpsuits for community service, back to picking up litter and sort of cleaning off graffiti and these types of things. So that's the sort of resting point that we always get back to, is that this bunch of people is always in and around the community center and always going back to these community service orange jumpsuits and cleaning things up. And whenever new characters are introduced and become regulars, or whenever someone's community service runs out, they always have a way to get them back into community service again.
Yes, it's a series with a sight reset button, but it adds to the fun as you're gathering as we go along. This is an oddball series, but there's a lot of fun to be had from it.
Yes, there is. And, you know, there's a lot of comedy that sort of comes back to the type of people that these are, you know, these young misfit type characters and the strangeness of the powers and so on.
Okay, so we're turning to our production notes about this show, and it was created by Howard Overman, a TV writer who began his career writing for sort of crime shows, things like Hustle and New Tricks, before moving on to the BBC series Merlin. And then in 2009, he came up with Misfits for Channel 4. But we should mention that he also later went on to create, executive produce and write the pilot for Dirk Gently, which is where we've come across him before, Brian.
Yes, that's right.
Misfits was produced by the Clerkenwell Films Company, and it went on location to a place called the Southmere Community Centre, which sits on Lake Thamesmead in southeast London. So, you know, it's quite a useful location. It's got the community centre, it's got the lake, it's got nearby blocks of flats. And this show, it pretty much, I don't think it leaves that area. It stays in and around these environs throughout the whole five series.
Yes, if it does leave that area, it's quite rare. And it's really based around the community center and a handful of surrounding locations. Overman wrote the majority of the episodes himself, right through all five seasons, which is unusual, and I think it worked quite well. We also had episodes written by John Brown and Chris Coghill, but for the most part, it was Overman writing them. So it really did give us a pretty consistent tone through the series. Millie Shawn Smith was the creative director, along with a variety of directors who directed the individual episodes.
Okay, then we've got a quite sort of catchy theme music, which was the song Echoes by the band The Rapture, and that plays over some rather spiffy title graphics, which sort of introduced the characters and the idea of the storm. And as we see the five individual characters, their sort of shadows give us some idea of their superpowers. So it's quite nice, neatly done.
Yeah, it's good for setting the tone. And I think that music helps set the tone that this is sort of a gritty, dark black comedy kind of show.
We got additional music throughout the show by Vince Pope, which gives it some interesting beats throughout, some sort of film style music from time to time, which is quite good, especially when the powers sort of amp up and they get into big exciting or dangerous situations. And this is a show that was sort of like very much aimed at a younger audience, I think a young adult audience, and it was heavily promoted with viral marketing. I suspect it must have been one of the first shows to really make a big thing of its social media and its own Twitter and Facebook accounts for the show, which would even feature posts on Twitter and on Facebook, which were allegedly from the characters in the show. So the characters themselves had accounts and were tweeting or posting on Facebook as the shows were airing. So a big part of its, I suppose, marketing and attraction was this use of new media, I guess, Brian.
Yes, and I think that's right, that it was quite early in having the characters posting to Twitter and Facebook. book and so on. So that was kind of neat to see that they were doing this type of thing. And in addition to that, the Channel 4 website included some online games and behind-the-scenes clips. There were music playlists for Spotify, character profiles, and a variety of other things.
That website's still up, so you can go and find most of that stuff still there on the Channel 4 website for Misfits.
Yeah, that's right. Misfits was broadcast on E4, which is a Channel 4 channel, starting in November 2009 and running through December 2013. It was something of a rating success and a critical success, and Series 1 actually won the BAFTA for Best Drama Series in 2010, which is unusual to see for a science fiction type of show.
Yeah, it is actually. I mean, another show that's won a BAFTA, which is quite impressive. And I think Lauren Socha, who played Kelly, also won an acting BAFTA for her performance, which was quite impressive as well. Best Supporting Actress, I believe, in 2010.
Yes, very, very interesting that the show actually got a couple of BAFTAs.
So, availability. There are, thankfully, lots of ways to watch Misfits. Here in Region 2, we got various box sets of DVDs as the seasons came out. But now you can get a complete all five seasons set, currently going for just under £20 on Amazon. And of course, it includes some of the extras from the website, behind the scenes extras, some of the little video films that the character Simon is supposedly making on his mobile phone. So it's available there. But if you are with any of the streaming services, for instance, if you are with Netflix here in the UK or with Amazon Instant Prime, then you can find all five seasons of Misfits as part of your package there, and you'll be able to watch all the episodes. No extras there, of course, but you can find some of those on the Channel 4 website, where currently, for UK residents, you can also find the episodes as well, still available to watch. I think you just have to sign up and register with Channel 4, and then you can watch them from their website. So this, again, it's a bit of a first, because this is the first show for British Invaders, certainly for me, that I've watched entirely on streaming. I haven't had the box sets or the DVDs. I've just watched this entirely on Netflix.
Oh, very good. In Region 1, the individual seasons are available on DVD and on Blu-ray for around $20 each. And there is a five-season box set on Blu-ray for about $70. On Amazon Instant, they are available as downloads for about $10 a season. They're also available on iTunes, a little more expensive than that. In the US, Misfits is available on Hulu Plus, the paid subscription service from Hulu. And in Canada, all five seasons of Misfits are available on Netflix streaming. So again, lots of options for availability in North America as well.
So a fairly recent show, an interesting one, and loads of ways to watch it, all completely above board and legally, as we like here on British Invaders. So I think no difficulty getting hold of episodes at all, Brian.
Yes, absolutely.
So that'll do it for our first episode about Misfits. Do come back next time when we're going to look at the next three seasons and the fact that the cast did change and the regulars started to change after the first two seasons.
That's right. And we'll talk about some of the weird and wonderful powers that appeared on the show and the sort of odd and isolated nature of this little community where it's at.
And of course, we'll get to do our own reviews and recommendations and tell you whether or not you should be getting hold of some of these Misfits episodes by whatever streaming or hard DVD-based media you decide to go for. So lots to talk about when we come back.
Yes, absolutely. In the meantime, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, or you can find our Facebook group if you search for British Invaders on Facebook. And as always, we have some good discussions going on there.
Yes, join in the fun at Facebook, or come and join in the fun at VogNetwork.com, which is the voice of geeks, internet, broadcasting, network of geek-related shows covering film, television, gaming, comics, you name it, it's there. Come along to VogueNetwork.com, join in the fun, let them know that you heard about it on British Invaders.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.